Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Good morning. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news. The start of a new week. How will it end? Will it end with Man United signing any players? Will it end with Man United standing still? Well, look, there is the threat that we will walk away. That's coming in this morning. An article in the Times where the Times journalist has reacted to that article, not very happy about some of the aggregators. But to be fair, it does say we'll walk away if they want £80 million. Well, that's how I interpreted it anyway. Is that a transfer warning to Matheus Fernandes? We've seen Diamande come out before leaving RB Leipzig saying that he wants to go to PSG. Is that what Man United want from Matheus Fernandes? Come out and say you want to come to our club so we can drive the price down. Otherwise, we're not going to pay £80 million. We've also been linked to Bouadi. We'll delve into that. There's more stuff around Tchouaméni as well. And Fabrizio Romano saying that Manchester United will not be letting Ahmad leave at any price. Is that news or is it an indicator of the issues that United have? Because I would sell Ahmad at any price. I don't think he's untouchable, but I wouldn't sell Ahmad, if that makes sense. We'll delve into that as well. Lots to get into this morning. Hope you're all doing well. Big week in the World Cup as well. God, that game last night was shite, wasn't it? But some big games tonight. We are on at 8 o'clock tonight, actually, because we fit perfectly after, well, unless Brazil-Japan goes to extra time, but France doesn't kick off till 10. So we'll be alive. We'll be live sometime between 8 and 9, regardless. Lots to get into this morning. So let's start off. So basically what happened is, and I need to just find this so I get it absolutely accurate here. So there was an article in the Times yesterday, which was predominantly about Ugarte. But it said that... It basically said that Manchester United do not want to pay £80 million for Matheus Fernandes. And a lot of aggregators basically took that and said, you know, Man United won't pay £80 million for Fernandes. And the indication from that was that, you know, Man United would walk away. It was Paul Hurst in the Times that wrote it. And he actually replied to somebody on X saying, It was a sentence at the end of an article about Ugarte. You know, I basically get fed up of these aggregators taking one bit and making it bigger than it is. But when you read the article, it does say, you know, David Ornstein's article was about Ugarte yesterday, and it said Man United are likely to sign several midfielders. You know, that wasn't the article's point, but it was in the article. Don't put it in the article if you don't want people to pick it up. Yes, aggregators can sometimes get it wrong, but if you put it in an article and your article's not that interesting and that's the most interesting bit, you might not think it's that interesting at the bottom of the article, but some people might go, that's the only bit I'm interested in. So Man United refusing to pay £80 million for Matheus Fernandes, well, what we're basically saying is if Spurs do pay £80 million for Matheus Fernandes, Man United won't pay £80 million for Matheus Fernandes and therefore we won't get the player. So does that mean we'll walk away? That's basically what people picked out of that, because to be honest with you, the Ugarte story on a human level is obviously very sad because he's injured. But from a Man United transfer level, oh, Ugarte injured, Man United will walk away. Man United won't pay £80 million for Matheus Fernandes. Well, that's the most interesting bit. So I think tensions are running high. And I'm not talking about the fan base. I think tensions are running high in the journalistic world, and they have been for probably 2 or 3 years, because these people go to university and study and, you know, work their way up in newspapers, traditional outlets, And they're seeing that that will die in front of them for people like Fabrizio Romano, who just goes live on YouTube and tweets stuff and goes, here we go. So, you know, there's a lot of tension in the modern journalistic world. And I don't think they like the fact that they can write a big article and someone takes a sentence that wasn't the piece that they wanted to talk about. But this is the world we live in. Swipe left, swipe right, TikTok, you know, people take what they need and they go on their way. And the most interesting thing to United fans at the moment is not Manuel Ugarte's injury. It's about who we're going to sign in the midfield. And I think that if Manchester United are unwilling to pay £80 million for Matheus Fernandes, then as a fan, you look at that and go, well, are we walking away then? And the great thing about modern football journalism and media and social media is that we don't have to sit there and talk about it on our own. We can talk about it collectively. If we're not going to pay £80 million for Matheus Fernandes, are we going to shift towards Boadi, who we've been linked to, and I'll talk about in a minute? Are we going to shift towards Tchouaméni, who we have been heavily linked to for a long time now? So I think that it's a big week for Manchester United. As I said, we hit July the 1st on Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. So that's the start of a new financial year. That's the traditional time. If you look at Man United throughout the last 10 years, traditionally, we buy a lot of players between the 1st of July and the 10th of July. So this is a big week for Manchester United. And are we going to get Matheus Fernandes? And if we're not going to pay £80 million, and look, I'm sure Tottenham are aware of social media as much as we are. If I'm Tottenham, I'm offering £80 million. If Man United are unwilling to pay £80 million, and they're, you know, they're stupid for that to be put out there, by the way, then if I'm Tottenham, I'm offering £80 million. And there's a lot of shocked faces in the chat, but, I mean, is that not what Man City did when they started out? You know, when Man City were shit and then they got the money, they didn't walk into deals that we were doing and go, oh, you want that player for 50 million? We'll give 50 million. They'd pay more. So I think that if you're Tottenham and you're ambitious and you want Matheus Fernandes to be in a Tottenham shirt for the next 2-3 years, you pay £80 million. Because at the end of the day, 15 million is nothing over 3 years. It's nothing. It's absolutely nothing. So look, I think with Matheus Fernandes, before we move on to something a little bit more new, if I'm Tottenham, I'll offer the 80 million now. I do. If I know Man United won't go there, I'll offer it. That's what I'll do. Because I've got to be a little bit more... I'm of the opinion that if you're in a race and somebody's further ahead of you and somebody says, I can put the same fuel in your car as their car, or you can go for this fuel that has the potential to make you go quicker than them, but it's more expensive... what did they buy? Yeah, they bought the normal fuel. Yeah, I'll buy the normal fuel. It won't make you quicker, I know, but you know. But if you buy this other fuel, it's a bit more expensive, but it'll make you go quicker. That's what Spurs need to do. Spurs need to pay a little bit more than the people they're trying to catch so that they can catch them. And we have tried to do that in the past. But look, what I would say is, on a positive, is that when you look at the Yann Diamande updates last night that came out, that he's basically chosen PSG over Liverpool. And can I just say, I saw someone this morning saying, I'll tell you what, I saw someone this morning saying, you can't criticise Man United if they walk away from Fernandes or they miss out on Fernandes when Liverpool are missing out on Yann Diamande. Basically trying to defend our board by saying, look, you know, people moan too much. You know, we're missing out on, we might miss out on Matheus Fernandes, and Liverpool missed out on Yann Diamande. Yeah, there's a very big difference there between Yann Diamande and Matheus Fernandes anyway, in the fact that Liverpool are in a bidding war with PSG, the best team in the world, and we're in a bidding war with Spurs, who nearly got relegated. But on top of that, Liverpool actually did put an official bid in of €100 million package. We've not even bid on Matheus Fernandes. So there's a big difference between trying to say we're the same as Liverpool on the Diamande deal with Matheus Fernandes. But what I did like about that deal and what could be good for us is if Liverpool can be rejected like that for putting a bid in, then because Diamande has made it public that he wants to go to PSG, no deal's been done with PSG and Leipzig. So for United, yes, Spurs might want Matheus Fernandes, but if he was to come out and publicly say, I want to go to Manchester United, we would then get a really good opportunity to negotiate with West Ham. Because what Man United are basically saying to West Ham is, we want Matheus Fernandes, but we're not paying your £80 million price tag. We think it's unreasonable. So, you know, that could happen to us. There's no indication that's going to happen. And to be fair, if you go back to the update yesterday morning, Romano said he's open to going to both. So, yeah, we'll see. Sorry, there's an idiot in the chat here. Let me get rid of people. Thank you. It's so easy. You don't acknowledge them. You just go like that. It's trying to do more than one. Oh, mate, you know, you keep typing. All it comes up is you've been blocked on my screen. Unlucky, mate. Unlucky. I'm not even going to shout your name out either. Cheerio, cheerio, cheerio. One voice singing in the darkness. That's all you're doing, mate. You're in an empty room typing away. Bye-bye. Good morning from Canada, Mark. Our board is too incompetent to do anything that makes sense. Sir Jim said we almost went broke if it weren't for Ineos. Not surprised we're acting cheap. And we won't buy Tonali because of his wages, but Ben Jacobs said we would be happy to make Tchouaméni one of our top earners. Doesn't make sense as acid 2335. Well, let's talk about Tchouaméni and let's talk about Bouadi. So in relation to Tchouaméni, thank you very much for your super chat this morning, Acid. If anyone wants to put super chats in, we will read them on the morning show. They never get missed. It's not like a watch along where it's chaotic. So what is happening? Oh my God, someone just said, have you seen this? Where's this come from? Okay, this is a strange one. I've just been sent this. It's on Deadline Day Live on X, who have 3 million followers, right? Now, there are a lot of these out there. There was one this morning where it was, I can't remember what the name of the account was. It was, let's say it's Man United News or something like that. No, it wouldn't be that because that would be taken. Anyway, it was basically saying West Ham have made a decision to sell Matheus Fernandes to West Ham as part of a swap deal for Ugarte by David Orstein. No N in it. It's just somebody having a laugh. So there's a lot of that stuff out there. And I thought this was one. So this came out about 20 minutes ago on Transfer News Live, not Lies. It quotes Fabrizio Romano and tags him in. And it is the real Fabrizio Romano. So I think this has come legit. I just hadn't seen this. Liverpool have made an initial inquiry for Matheus Fernandes after contacting the midfielder's representatives to understand the conditions of a potential summer move. The Reds have not advanced their interest beyond initial talks, for Man United and Tottenham currently leading the race. West Ham want around £80 million. I don't know how old that news is. I don't know whether that's new news. I mean, you probably know more than me, but apparently Romano has said something about Liverpool looking at Matheus Fernandes, which is interesting. I suppose, look, you know, to be honest, I have heard that West Ham may not be in a rush. West Ham may wait the market out. I think West Ham, I know somebody who knows somebody who is pretty good around West Ham, and they were saying that this cash injection, to be honest, Ben Jacobs has said it. Let's, because people are going, oh, bullshit, man. I'll use Ben Jacobs because he has said it anyway. Ben Jacobs did say that West Ham, now let me be careful because I know what I was told by that person, but let me think. Ben Jacobs said. Yeah, Ben Jacobs said that West Ham were not in a rush to sell because they've had a cash injection from this new owner. Now, I think what that means is that if they didn't have that cash injection at the end of this financial year, they might have needed to do something before tomorrow to balance the books. But because they've had the cash injection, they don't need to do that before the end of this financial year. So effectively, they don't need to sell Matheus Fernandes before the end of the financial year. So once we hit July the 1st, well, they can sell him on August the 1st. So I think that in a way, and I've alluded to this myself, they may well look at it and go, well, let's hang about a little bit, because if Bouadi and Anderson go to Man City and, you know, somebody goes to, and Enzo Fernandez goes to Real Madrid, the midfield transfer market might end up with too many clubs needing midfielders and not enough quality midfielders out there, which could bump the price up a little bit more on Matheus Fernandes. It could make other people enter the race. Remember, we're dealing with Jorge Mendes and West Ham, right? This is good for Bournemouth as well with Alex Scott. They, if they're not in a rush and he's a good player, then this could go for a while. This could go on for a long time because they know they've got a player that people are interested in and they can just keep pushing that price up. But that's the, that this is the thing I said over the weekend as well. People go, lots of people in the chat saying walk away. Wherever you walk into the same problem. Hello, Bournemouth. Can we have Alex Scott for £60 million? No, it's £75 million starting price. And if it's a bidding war, it could go even higher. Oh, God. Hello, is that Real Madrid? Can we have Tchouaméni? He would like to come to us. You can, but there's other clubs interested and we're starting the bidding at £75 million. Oh, God. Okay. Belaba, Brighton, can we have Belaba? Of course you can. No one wants him. But no, seriously, I think it will impact us on a lot of deals. Levi says, hope I'm wrong, but if we don't act like a club soon, we're going to be like Spurs last season, says Levi. Yeah, I mean, I worry about Carrick anyway. And I definitely worry about Carrick if he's not going to be helped. I mean, I would say, you know, Michael Carrick going into battle next season with Man United, he needs the best equipment, you know? He needs the best equipment. If we don't send him into battle without the best equipment, I don't know whether we can trust him to be, you know, I don't think he's, you know, are his battle tactics as good as they need to be anyway? You know, I think he's going to be learning a lot next season. Mohammed says, what about Tchouaméni? Okay, let's talk. Right, so there are some updates again. Spanish predominantly, but Real Madrid is in Spain. So that's a good thing. Loads of updates coming in on him this morning. We will start off with, where's that Bouadi story? I want to talk about that as well. Okay, yeah, we'll come back to that. It's quite a good source on the Bouadi story. But Tchouaméni, I think, is more realistic. So I'm just going to summarise numerous Real Madrid sources talking about Tchouaméni over the last few days. So confirmed, Real Madrid, now a big midfield signing, would exceed 100 million euros, making a sale necessary. Valverde, Tchouaméni and Camavinga are names for potential sales. So Real Madrid want to make a big summer signing in the midfield. It's going to be in excess of 100 million euros. They need to make a sale. Apparently, there's not a massive amount of interest in Camavinga at 60 million. Valverde is a player that they would like to keep. Tchouaméni is the one that, you know, I think they can make their money from. Also, from Sport, a possible departure from Real Madrid for Tchouaméni, linked to Man United, is an option that is gaining more and more strength. And also, another outlet in Spain basically saying that Tchouaméni is the player that Real Madrid know they can sell for a decent price to fund another midfielder. So look, I think that it's not like, I feel with Tchouaméni, it's, I don't want to be repetitive in the sense that I know from people close to that player that United have held talks and he would be interested in coming to Manchester United. That was backed up by Andy Mitten last week. We're getting a lot of stuff over in Spain about him. So I would say that the simplest way of explaining the Tchouaméni deal is it's not like we should go and sign Stiller and there's not a lot happening there, or, you know, Alex Scott, who, you know, is a potential option if we don't get Mateus Fernandes. I think with Tchouaméni, it's a really simple situation. He is a player that Man United can get, and he is a player that Real Madrid will sell. So you're halfway there, you know, you're halfway there. Essentially, the two things that need to happen is Real Madrid need to buy a midfielder, and then Man United need to offer Real Madrid the money, and then we'll get him. Because the wages aren't going to be silly. And going back to that previous point about why Man United won't pay the wages for Tonali, but they will pay the wages for Tchouaméni, when you look at those two players, I sort of get it. Man United is a business and they're going to look at risk. They don't like the gambling issues of Tonali, let's be honest. That's been put out by journalists close to United three times in the last 3 months. Tchouaméni also is coming in from Real Madrid as a more defensive midfielder, whereas Tonali, I think he can do that job, but he's probably a little bit more box-to-box. So, look, I like Tonali. I'd like United to sign Tonali. I'd probably take Tonali over Tchouaméni, but there's something about United that's holding them back. He's also more expensive, actually.
he's also probably going to be more expensive. I personally think the price of Tchouaméni is going to be about 70 million, whereas the price of Tonali is probably going to be more like 90 to 100. So, yeah, I think that's probably why we're not going for Tonali. But look, Tchouaméni is going to cost you a maximum 250 grand a week. United can try and get their wage bill down, but you know, Marcus Rashford could be coming back. He's going to be on 325. Bruno's on 300. Mason Mount's on 250. So, you know, that what does that tell me? We are willing to pay over 250 grand a week and we're doing it for the wrong player. So I definitely think it can happen. The big issue with Tchouaméni, as we've said many times before, is going to be the how quickly it can get done. Essentially, how quickly that deal can get done. Now, the Bouabi story, which is the one I'm most excited about this morning because I didn't really expect it, and I certainly don't think we'll do anything with it. It was Manchester City that was leading that race, no doubt about it. But Fabrice Hawkins, who is a French journalist, and you should know the name because we've had stories from him in the past over the years. So basically, he is saying that Bouabi is being followed by Manchester United, Manchester City, Arsenal and Bayern Munich. In case of a departure, Lille prefer a sale with a one-year loan so that they can continue his development at the club. Lille's president is demanding between 80 and 100 million euros. So look, on the one hand, it's positive, and on the other hand, you sort of know we won't do anything about it. But look, it says Man United are in there with Man City, Arsenal and Bayern. But there's three reasons why I won't be getting to it. I mean, I think that credit to Arsenal and Bayern and PSG, because they were linked to him before the World Cup. And I'd put my hands up and say, didn't really know a lot about him before the World Cup. I didn't. But seeing him perform in the World Cup, and obviously they're on at 2 a.m. tonight against the Netherlands, which I will be watching. I think he's been, you know, you can see the traits of what will be a very, very good player there. But I would hold my hands up and say, you know, predominantly I'm scouting him on the World Cup, which I hate. I don't like to do that. But having said that, when you hear that Arsenal and PSG have been scouting him for a season, he's clearly a good player. Are Man United seriously in for him? I mean, look. I mean, are we just being thrown in there because we want a midfielder? That's always the worry, I suppose. That could be the case. But the big problem you've got there is that we can't defeat Tottenham in a transfer race. How the bloody hell are we going to deal with Man City, Arsenal and Bayern? Because Arsenal will pay £100 million for a player. They've done it. Man City will pay £113 million for a player. £116 million, they've just done it. And Bayern Munich are a very, you know, strong proposition as well. So I don't know how, I don't even know how Man United would be able to get into a race with Man City, Arsenal, Bayern and PSG are interested in him as well. And also the fact that Lille would prefer a one-year loan so they can keep him for another year wouldn't work with what we want to do. And the price of 80 to 100 million euros is not going to work for us anyway. So look, a lot of people were talking about that Bouabi story last night and this morning, and it is a news show, so yes, we should bring it in. But in my opinion, and you can tell me I'm wrong, I just think, yeah, it's great that we're interested in that player. But there's three components there that make it very difficult, and that is that there's three or four top clubs going for him. Lille would be looking for a loan back for a year, which doesn't work with what we're doing, and the price tag clearly won't work either. Muzza says, don't you think Enmeter is the one? I think, and Faraway Beach, I mean, some good questions coming in this morning. Let me just touch on these because they're in the live chat section. Enmeter is the one, says the Muzza. I like Enmeter. Are Germany playing tonight? Yes, they are. I like Enmeter, and I think he's a really good player. However, I do have concerns about, look, again, as I was saying this morning, you know, sorry, as I was saying a few minutes ago. Hello, is that Bournemouth? Can we have Alex Scott? Yeah, £80 million. Hello, is that Real Madrid? Can we have Tchouaméni? Yeah, £80 million. Hello, is that Dortmund? Can we have Enmeter? Yeah, £80 million. Hello, is that Brighton? Can we have Belaber? Yeah. But the point is, that Brighton would still charge us a lot of money. Everybody's going to cost money. And I don't know about you, but as a United fan, I don't like the way we behave. I'm sure the club don't like the United Stand. You know, I'm sure they don't like any fan outlet or media outlet or ex-player that calls them out. You know, United would love to have a dictatorship, wouldn't they, where what they say, everyone says it's positive, and if they say anything negative, you disappear. I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, like, you know, you get censored and shut up. You know, that's life. But I don't like the way United behave in the transfer market. I don't like the way the Glazers have run the club, but that's life, you know. There's literally nothing we can do about it. But the thing I don't like is I know we can't do deals. I know we can't get Bouadi because better clubs who want to pay more money will beat us. And I know that we won't go to Dortmund and pay £80 million for Mitja. I don't like that. I think it's very restrictive. You know, I grew up with a United side that would go and do that. And now it's a United side that won't go and do that. It's very problematic. And you know, to quote Emily Derry again, she said this a couple of days ago. What was the plan walking into this window? Did we not see that this was a possibility? I mean, it's like going on holiday to Mallorca in June and not packing any sun cream or shorts or sunglasses or hats, and you just take big jumpers and jeans, and then there's a heat wave. You know, people might feel sorry for you because you're hot and you're going to get sunburnt, but what did you think was going to happen in June in Mallorca? You know, the chances were it was going to be hot. And what did Man United think walking into this midfield transfer market and then suddenly the prices have gone up beyond what we want to pay? Yeah, there's a bit of sympathy for us, but ultimately we should have seen it coming. And our unwillingness to spend on our own fantasy, you know, market value, spend beyond that, makes it very restrictive at the moment. There was also a comment about Adam Wharton. I mean, you know, look, Adam Wharton, I wouldn't rule it out. You know, it's very quiet around Adam Wharton. It's very quiet around Angelo Stiller. Obviously, Wharton's not gone to the World Cup. The indication is that Wharton will either be a later in the deal, later in the window deal, like sort of August, or he'll stay at Crystal Palace for another season. Which is a clever play by Wharton, and it's a clever play by Crystal Palace, because he will eat, you know, if you're Crystal Palace and you wait towards the end of the window, people will be desperate and they'll pay more money. And if it doesn't happen, you get to keep him. And he's not 23 until next February. So he can probably afford to, you know, wait another year as well and play regularly. So I think with Wharton, it's not something that people are looking at right now. On Bouadi, I would sign him. I do like him, but I don't think we've got anything to get excited about there at the moment. I certainly don't think we're going to pivot from Matheus Fernandes to Bouadi. I don't. And also, I've got to remember this. When Bouadi played that first game for Morocco a couple of weeks ago, I got in contact with our source at the club and said, where are we at with Bouadi then? Because he looks perfect. It reminds me of bloody Carrick. So where does he feature in United's data? And I was told United looked at him but excluded him a long time ago. He never got anywhere near like even the top 10 for Man United in the midfield this summer. So, yeah, Data Dean cut Bouadi way before the World Cup, which is interesting because I, you know, look, and I've only seen him in the World Cup, but when I look at Bouadi, reminds me a lot of Carrick. The player, in the fact that he's very confident, wants the ball, wants to dictate the game. But United, you know, and to be fair, that might have been on price. Man United might have gone, yeah, we don't fancy a player from Lille at that age for that price. We want someone more experienced, you know. I've been watching for about a year now, says Sadiq, and my first super chat. Hope you're doing well from Australia. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your first super chat, Sadiq. Really appreciate that. Let us know where you're watching from this morning. Start of another week. Always feel a little bit optimistic at the start of a new week. You've not been ground down by the repetitive bad news. Hopefully it's going to be a big week. And obviously it's a big week in the World Cup as well, which has got me excited. We'll be doing a lot of watch-alongs on Match Football. But on United, the club has spent a lot of PR work on looking to spend 250 to 300 million on players, yet they're not looking to compete for signings, says Razzler. There's a lack of ambition from the board. Thank you very much, sir. Please do share the video if you're watching, by the way. Thank you very much, everybody. God, people are telling us in their super chats where they're from today, which I'm absolutely loving. I mean, please do keep this coming if you're going to do super chats, because we're all very interested in this. Mr. Way says, and everyone from the United Stand, I'm in Lyon, France. Do you know how much we've saved not buying last winter, and what do you think we can spend this year? I think if you refer to people like Kieran Maguire or even people like Swedish Rumble on X, Man United could comfortably go to £300 million of spending, probably more. But what people forget about is that, yes, Man United can spend £300 million or more and not be in trouble with FFP, but you've still got to have a board who's got that amount of money. You've still got to have a board that wants to do that. Now, we don't have that. Imagine Man United having £400 million, right? And Barada says to Sir Jim and Joel, we can spend all that on players because we wouldn't be in trouble. And if we spend that 400 million, we probably can compete for the league in the next 2 years. Sir Jim and Joel are going to look at each other and go, Omar, you've got 400 million pounds and you want to spend it all on players. Okay, right. You know, there's debt interest. There's this, there's that, there's this. So we're very unlikely to spend what we can, because we've always got to spend on other things. But having said that, I think I've always said the midfield is the priority. 200 million on that midfield is going to be needed, because if Edison's 40 and Matheus Fernandes is 80 or 70 or whatever, let's say, you know, Matheus Fernandes is 70, that's 110. Probably going to have to spend another 70 to 80 on Tchouaméni. So I was always thinking somewhere between 150 and 200 million pounds on the midfield. 150 was never going to be enough. No. Jared says, why always slate Ineos? Let me get my book on 1,000 reasons to slate Ineos. No, what if we just trust the process and let the board work? Arsenal did, and eventually they got to where they need to be. Yeah, Jared, look, people like you exist. I respect it. I respect it, bruv, right? You know, some people are unambitious, trustworthy, and, you know, just hope it's going to work out. I'm sure there was people who were sat on the Titanic when it was sinking and went, you know what, let's not rush for a lifeboat. Let's just sit here and wait it out. That's fine. And sometimes it might work. Sometimes if you sit and do nothing, it can work out, you know? It's like being in the queue at the supermarket, and the queue on the left is moving quicker and people are moving across, and you think, you know what, I'm going to stay here. And then suddenly your queue starts moving quicker. It can work out, Jared. But in football and what we've seen at Man United, I've seen nothing from Ineos to make me trust them and make me want to sit there and say, let's see how it works out. I think they deserve criticism. I think they'd expect criticism. Well, Manchester United. And also, you know, it happens at a lot of the other clubs as well. Where can we watch the god midfielder from Newcastle at the World Cup? Or what did he do in the previous one? Tonali is a scam and he is not good, says Juro. Well, that's fine, mate, because we're not going for him anyway. Why are we not going after Sangari from Lens, says Maliki? Well, give it a few weeks, mate. We probably will. Want two-time Tchouaméni, then Fernandes, says Seth. And Silent 90096 says, hope all is well. Was wondering why you said you wouldn't take Liao on a free. Does it come down to his ability, or do you just think we should go elsewhere? If Rashford goes, it seems ideal. I don't remember saying those words about Liao on a free, because I think he'd cost £60 million. I mean, I think I would take Liao on a free. I think there's a lot of players I don't want that I'd take on a free, to be fair. So I don't remember saying that. If I did, you know, I can't remember the context of it. But I think Rashford's better than Liao. Now, would I take Liao or Rashford? Well, let's run a poll on that. I mean, look, the problem with Rashford is I think Rashford's better than Liao, right? But the problem with Rashford is the baggage. It's the baggage of coming back with all the problems that were there, with all the attention that will come with it, and the fact that he's going to be 29 this season and he's probably going to drop off because he's a pace-reliant player. So I think Rashford coming back, I worry about it for him, for us, and the future. Liao would be a fresh start player, wouldn't he? So on that sense, maybe I would go for Liao over Rashford, but I think Rashford's better than Liao. Personally, I would go for Nusa from Leipzig, who is probably going to be impossible to get because they're going to sell Diamande and they won't want to sell them both. But that's where I would like to go. I've seen people talking about Barcola. I don't see United being in for Barcola at all. I really don't. And I would take him. I think he's a fantastic player. But I don't see Man United being in for Barcola. I think it's way beyond what we would want to spend. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't even spend on Ndiaye from Everton. We won't pay 70 for him. So, and maybe we shouldn't. Are you worried that Man United might not sign a third midfielder because of Ugarte's injury? I am worried about it. It's illogical not to buy three midfielders now, but, you know, it is Man United. Forza says, hope you're all doing well. Thank you very much, pal. Last season was an amazing striker market, got fifth and sixth choice. This season, it's amazing midfielder market and we're already on at least fourth choice. Small clubs, says Acid. Well, let's hope that if we do get our fourth or fifth choice midfielder, they do work out like Sesko because, you know, he wasn't a terrible signing, was he? Nosk says, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Ryerson, Anderson and Nusa is what we need. Well, we're not getting one of those. In fact, we're not getting any of them. I'd be happy with all three, but we're not getting any of them, are we? Let's be honest. Jack says the club just needs to be bold and bid for Tchouaméni. Thank you very much for that. A lot of people talking about Patrick Lynch's comment, which I haven't actually seen yet. Razzler says, I'm not saying we won't sign more players, but I'm concerned that it might make us look desperate later in the window, knowing United has surprised fans in the past. Yeah, I mean, look, it will be... If we leave our recruitment till later in the window, we will pay more for less quality because the good stuff will be gone. Does Wharton not have a release clause for 60 million for Champions League clubs? Don't know. Don't see why we don't get him. Gives us more budget for Tchouaméni. Well, I tell you what, we Ryan time. I'll tell you what about Wharton. If Man United sign Wharton, they will look really silly because they definitely briefed about Wharton being too similar to Manu. I read that multiple times from, you know, a few different journalists. So I'd be stunned if United went in for Wharton, really, because we briefed that he was too similar to Manu. I don't think he is too similar to Manu, but that came from United. So hope you're well. Watching from Southampton at the moment. Love the content. I have a weird feeling somehow by the end of the transfer window we'll get Tchouaméni, says Sagan TV. Mate, look, it's great that the updates are starting to move it in that direction. I mean, this is a story we led on way before anybody else. Those talks took place in March with his agent about a move, and that's why Fabrizio started talking about a dream move in April. The only barrier to Man United signing Tchouaméni is going to be if Real Madrid sell, which I think they will, and if we pay, which I think we can. And if we do those two things, I think we'll get him. A third slight issue might be if someone else comes in for him, but I can't see anybody being able to offer him what we can, a starting place in Man United's midfield playing in the Champions League. Liverpool can't really offer him a starting place. Man City don't need him. Arsenal, I don't think, would go for him. And can they offer him a starting place? Chelsea ain't in the Champions League. So I think Man United get him if we want him. We're between a rock and a hard place of our own making, says Patrick. They've set a budget they won't exceed. The market has changed, meaning big spend. The board has totally misread this summer. They're not in control of the transfers. And Acid says, in response to Patrick, if Ineos can't afford to run United, they shouldn't have bought a part of the club. You can say they have no control when they have had all the control by not investing. Well, I agree with you, Acid, and it's a different point. They shouldn't have done this. I've always had a concern that Sir Jim Ratcliffe did this as a vanity project. And a vanity project is where you do something for your own needs over the needs of everybody else. I think Sir Jim Ratcliffe did this because he wanted to be the guy that takes Man United back to the top, but I don't think he had the tools to do it. You know, we all know when the Glazers were looking for investment or a sale, we all know what we needed. We needed somebody to walk in and go, I'm Man City, you know, or I'm Chelsea. You know, they needed somebody to walk in and go, we're going to spend on the team. So Jim Ratcliffe can't do that. For whatever reason, he can't do it. Hasn't got the wealth himself, doesn't want to do it, whatever. So you're absolutely right, Acid. Sir Jim Ratcliffe's plan with Man United is very self-motivated in the sense that he thinks he can make Man United great on a shoestring. And, you know, he needs to look in the window at that. But in relation to what Patrick says and the transfer window, I agree. I completely agree. I think, you know, we've walked into a market. It's very much like an auction. I don't know whether you've ever been to an auction. I used to get taken to auctions all the time because my mum was, you know, likes horses. And a lot, if you're into the horses world, they sell them at markets. You know, you basically. Farmers will know about this. Car auctions as well. Basically, an item comes into the ring. You're all sat around and they'll go, we'll start the bidding at 10. And you put your hand up, 10,100, 10,500. You know, that's what happens. This is basically what's happening. It's a great analogy. This is great. This is exactly what's happening with Manchester United. Mateus Fernandez walks into the ring and United think 60 million. And then it's like, we'll start the bidding at 80. What? And United are like, well, we want to pay 60. Well, no, we'll start the bidding at 80. So we're waiting for the price to come down to what we can pay, but it's already started above what we can pay. So we're basically sat there going, please nobody bid, and they get desperate and lower the price. Because look, in an auction, if a car comes out and somebody wants 10 grand for it and nobody bids, that price might come down to 9. All right, we'll start the bidding at 5. You know, but it's not going to happen, is it? And Patrick's right, with United, I feel like we've walked into an auction with our idea. And this is the big problem, because we've read this over the weekend. Man United only want to pay fair value, right? But you walk into an auction saying, I want to pay fair value, there might be three or four people who are willing to bid beyond fair value. It's a seller's market, and we can't dictate that. And it feels like we're sort of going, we won't overpay. But we don't dictate what overpaying is. We're a buyer in a seller's market. So something that, you know, you might think is worth 50 million in this market is probably going to be 65, 70. Because the Elliot Anderson deal has knocked 20 million onto every deal. I agree, at the start of the summer, Mateus Fernandez, 55 million. Tchouaméni, 65. But we're operating in a different market. And you know, is it unfair? Probably. But that's football. Sometimes markets can be like this. Sometimes you can see real value in a market as well. You know, sometimes people have got a release clause, or sometimes there's a load of people for sale and nobody needs midfielders. Like, If only two of the top clubs needed midfielders, we'd be laughing. But unfortunately, a lot of clubs want midfielders this summer, and therefore the price goes up. It's like a housing market, isn't it? You know, sometimes people want to live in a certain area for schools or whatever like that. Not because they want to look at kids going to school, but because they want to put their kids in the school. And or it might be, you know, the Cotswolds or a nice area of New York, right? So houses might be really sought after there. And sometimes a house might come on the market might only be worth $500,000, but they don't come on the market very often and loads of people want it. So that $500,000 house goes for maybe $1 million. But then in a year's time, 15 houses might come on the market in that area and there might be 15 buyers. So you get a better value. It's the world. It's the world, isn't it? Look at what happened with look at what happened with PS5s when there was a shortage. If there was loads of PS5s and loads of buyers, they'd go for the retail price. But if there's not many PS5s and there's loads of buyers, they go up, don't they? And this is where United have been really naive, is that we've walked into a market. And look, you know, you imagine that Christmas when everyone wanted a PS5. What's the retail price? Let's say it's 500 quid. Man United would walk in to Currys and say, I want to pay 500 quid for this. That's the fair price. And Currys would say, have you seen the queue behind you? They're willing to pay $1,000. Well, we don't think that's fair. Well, move aside, sir. That's where United have gone wrong. And they keep putting that story out. We won't pay this. We're only going to pay fair value. But in any sense of the word, if you are in a market which is a seller's market with loads of buyers, you ain't going to get fair value. You ain't, you're not. That PS5 that is worth 500 quid, factually is worth 500 quid, if you want it, you have to pay $1,000. And look, factually, for me, Matheus Fernandes is a £55 million player. You know, I'd even take him down lower than Man United's valuation of 65. I think he's a £55 million player. He's 21. He's been relegated with West Ham. He's been relegated with Southampton. He's never played European football. He's never played for a top Premier League side. He has a lot of potential, but he's a £55 million player. He's going for £30 million more than that. But what are you going to do? You know, you can Man United can sit there and say to West Ham all the things I've said there, and they're going to go, yeah, but we want 80. If you don't want him, piss off, you know? I've been watching since 25,000 Skype call-ins, says TMP, with Saunders channel came a long way. Love the content. Help with all the spin from these shocking owners. Saunders? I mean, I remember the Skype calls, but I don't remember Saunders. Nectario says, considering United is in a financial shit show, I think getting Goretzka on a free isn't terrible as long as we get Tchouaméni. He's 3 years younger than Casemiro, experienced and a real professional. The problem with Goretzka is, mate, I've got a bit Australian there. The problem with Goretzka is that, one, it reminds me too much of Schweinsteiger because he's a similar age and he got loads of injuries and it didn't work out. And I was very excited about Schweinsteiger. And two, United won't like his wages, mate, because even though he's free and you could go, well, we're not paying a transfer fee, so let's give it him in wages. We don't want to break our wage structure, so we won't do it. I agree with Acid, says Razzler. Ineos did a poor job with Nice. Sagan says, Ineos have scared me. I go into a shop, see Ineos on the bottle of fabric softener. Makes me want to throw it on the floor. Thank you. It's Latan for your little hippo sticker. And thank you very much to Acid. Razzler says, I'm not saying we won't sign more players, but I'm concerned that it may make us look desperate later in the window. There we go. I think I've caught up there. Patrick, done that one. And Sadiq, we did that one as well. Lovely. Okay. Want to just talk quickly about this because we've somehow, I don't know how many people do this, but I looked at the time about 2 minutes ago and it was 26 minutes past 10. We're now nearly half an hour on. I don't know. And I don't know how many people do this and I don't know how many people experience this, but it's something that's been a real problem over the years and I just don't know how it goes. All I can say is it must be a good show and a massive thank you to all of you because I genuinely don't know where that 25 minutes has gone. It's absolutely just flown by. So massive shout out to you. But I did want to talk about this before we sort of start to wrap things up. So basically, Fabrizio Romano, and we're really close to 9,000 people watching, so please do share the video if you can. Click and share. Fabrizio Romano, on his video this morning, talking about Man United, basically said that Ahmad is not... BBA says ADHD. I don't think ADHD makes your time go from 26 to 51. I mean, I don't know, but there we go. I think what makes time go quick, time goes quick when you're having fun, basically, which is why I was saying thank you to all of you. So Fabrizio Romano, on his video this morning, basically said Michael Carrick has made it clear that Ahmad is not available for sale under any circumstances. There's been some suggestion that Amorim would like to take him to AC Milan. Now, Ahmad and Amorim got on really well. In fact, Ahmad was playing good football under Amorim. It's under Carrick where Ahmad has fell off. But Carrick has said no under no circumstances. So I can see the logic behind this, because Ahmad really liked Amorim and played very well under Amorim. And Amorim may look at Ahmad and go, he'd be a good player for us. And he would. He'd tear it up in Italy, I'm sure. But apparently Carrick has said under no circumstances can that happen. Look, Ahmad under Carrick hasn't worked out. Neither's Mbeumo, but you wouldn't sell either of them. I don't even know where this has come from, because my stance on this is there a price where I would sell Ahmad? Yes. I think most players have a price. I don't know that there's a player at United at the moment that I wouldn't sell at the right price. I mean, I'd sell Maynou for 100 million. I would. I mean, I think that would be a very good price. So I'd definitely sell Ahmad. Bruno is probably the only one I'd resist, to be honest. I think everybody has the price, and I think it's foolish to say that nobody has a price, because everybody has to have a price. There was days when I used to hear, you know, Inter Milan want Giggs or Juventus want Keane, and you'd probably go at no price. But why would we sell Ahmad anyway? Like, the way I look at United is, we could never sell a Cunha or a Maynou or an Mbeumo or an Ahmad or a Sesko at the moment, because we're trying to build. So we should never be selling a half decent player at the moment anyway. We're not in a position to do that. I think if you're Man City or Arsenal, you can sell a Trossard, you know, you can sell a Savinho. But Man United, we can't even afford to sell an Ahmad or an Mbeumo or a Sesko. We're just not in that position at the moment, because we actually need another winger. We need another striker. We need another midfielder. We need three. So I think in relation to Ahmad, I know he's not the most popular player with some people, but you absolutely cannot be selling, even if you don't like him, we can't be selling players like that. We'd be weakening an area that we need more in. So look, maybe there is something in AC Milan wanting him, but we absolutely, Carrick's right. You can't trust this board. I mean, Michael Carrick might think secretly, if we can get 70 million, let's do the deal. But that money would not be reinvested in somebody better. So, no, I think Ahmad, big season for him. Maybe in a year's time. Maybe in a year's time, if it's not working out, we can do something about it. I think Ahmad, I'm a massive fan of Ahmad, as you know. He has been frustrating in the last 6 months. And he has got to step it up next year, because it's baffled me in the fan base, really, just how many people get on his back. He's not actually well-liked universally across the fan base. There's some people who really don't like him, and you see it on the watch-alongs and you see it on social media. But I think this season for him is a big season for him. And I wouldn't sell Sesko, I wouldn't sell Cunha, I wouldn't sell Mbeumo, I wouldn't sell Dorgu, I wouldn't sell Ahmad. We do need to improve. We need to add players in that area, and all of those players need to improve. But I wouldn't sell any of them. That would be a sign of, you know, I already think we behave like fucking Everton. That would be like Everton to start selling players like that. We need to get stronger. Yeah. It was Sander on the Skype call-ins. Sander, yes, not Saunders. Yeah, it's funny in this space, isn't it? Because I was thinking this the other day. There was somebody who wasn't even on the United Stand who, you know, was doing content, and now they don't. I've not heard from Sander in ages. Actually, he was. I thought he had talent. I thought, you know, I don't know whether he still does stuff or not. But yeah, I thought he had potential, which is why he was on the channel. I am telling what this board wants us to is sign some cheap players and dress them up like the next Roy Keane, and then hope Carrick can get third again, says Ray. Hope you're doing well, yeah? Yeah, Ray. United want to buy cheap and be successful. It's very difficult to do that. The problem with United is that we cling on to players that later struggle to get rid of them. We shouldn't be afraid of selling. City and Chelsea do it and make them stronger in negotiating. Look, Razzler, if somebody offered us £70 million for Ahmad and we were going to buy Nusa with that £70 million, I might do it. But I don't trust this club to take good money for Ahmad and bring somebody better in. So I would rather keep Ahmad for another year and focus on the midfield. Because we're not good enough in the window to take decent money for players and replace them and solve the problems that need to be solving. So why create more problems for yourself? Considering United is in a financial shit show. I've done that one from Rictario. Thank you very much. Okay, look, great show this morning. Oh, finally, either or, Liao or Rashford. We've had thousands of people voting on this. The results are in. Rashford, 47%. Liao, 53%. Which, I've got to be honest, doesn't surprise me. I don't think there's an overwhelming feeling of bringing Rashford back. And I don't think there's an overwhelming feeling that Liao is a Man United player either. So you end up with this sort of 50-50. I don't know. Jamie says, have you heard about the Vinicius Jr. rumours? I have. That's why I haven't spoken about it, because it's bollocks. And there are plenty of stories over the years that we've never really spoken about because I think they're bollocks. And Vinicius Jr. to Man United, I have seen a couple of stories about it. And it's complete and utter bollocks. And I wouldn't insult your intelligence by even promoting it, other than the fact that I saw that there. What a show this morning. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Really have. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in, as always. We're back at 2 o'clock. Beth is on at 2 o'clock. And I'm with you at 8. Well, I say 8 o'clock. If Brazil and Japan is done in 90 minutes, it's 8 o'clock. If it goes extra time, it'll be more like 8:30. If it goes penalties, it's going to be 9. But we are in that area because France are playing Sweden at 10. So we've got a 2-hour gap to get an evening show in, regardless of what happens with Brazil and Japan. And I'm live on That's Football at 6 p.m. for Brazil, Japan. I'll do this very, very quickly because it's nice to tell you what's going on for the week. Obviously, we've got the 10 o'clock show always at 10 o'clock this week. So and normally always is at 10 o'clock unless it's the weekend and I've slept in. So we've definitely got the 10 o'clock show every day this week. 8 o'clock, 2 o'clock shows will be fine because there's nothing to clash with them. 8 o'clock tonight, be fine. 8 o'clock tomorrow. France is not tonight. Sorry, it's Germany tonight at 9:30. You're very, very right. Sorry about that. 8 o'clock tonight, 8 o'clock tomorrow. From Wednesday, England play at 5 and then Belgium play at 9. So 8 o'clock on Wednesday, yes. And Thursday, we're 7 o'clock because it's Spain, Austria at 8. And then Friday, it's Australia at, we'll be at 9 o'clock after the Australia game then, because that's at 7. But first 3 days of the week, we're at 8. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I will speak to you on the next one. Take care.